the Performance Training Academy podcast with today's guest, James Buckingham. Today, we're looking at anxiety hacks. We're going to be discussing actions that you can put into your everyday life straight away to deal with any stress or anxiety. This will include grateful logs, breathing, exercise approaches, everyday hacks, and much more. We hope you enjoy.
We live, Ash.
We are live. So we are now doing podcast number one. Cool. Podcast number one, we've got our guest today, James Buckingham. Today's podcast is going to be discussing anxiety hacks. So we're going to be talking about the biological factors that can be affected by mindset, both physically and mentally. We'll be giving you some actionable elements that you can put into your daily life straight away. So we'll be discussing some grateful logs, breathing approaches, and even how it relates into exercise. But then exercise can be both a positive and a negative, obviously, if you're going into the overtraining side of things. So we'll be discussing all of these factors. And the essence of this podcast that we want to get across is to give you some everyday hacks that you can put in place straight away. So without further ado, James Buckingham, nice to see you this morning.
Morning, Ash. Beautiful day here in Lockdown City.
It is a beautiful day, isn't it? And it's a bit irrelevant, this one as well. It's a bit relevant, this podcast as well, because for the purposes of people listening to this, it is in that coronavirus stage. We are in a little bit of lockdown, so anxiety levels might be high. So let's just get straight into it. So, James, take us a few things that we can start thinking about and considering as individuals when it comes to anxiety levels, managing anxiety levels, and dealing with stress upon the body, really.
All right. So, yeah, I'll see if I can do that. So, of course, now, the very fact that I'm doing a podcast with you, my anxiety levels have gone through the roof. So we'll talk through that. But when we talk about anxiety, the way I kind of think about it earlier on is it's how we react to things in the past and how we kind of think about possible outcomes for something that's going to happen in the future. So if we kind of address those two things, firstly, and from a mental point of view, that can go some considerable way to helping kind of anxiety. Then we can talk about nutritional interventions, training interventions, and maybe some supplements to help through that. So I'll go through what I can, Ash, and just fire any questions if I go off on a tangent like I'm doing right now.
I'll fire some questions okay, that possibly people are having as they're listening to this as well, all right?
Sure, mate, no problem at all. So when I talk about, this might sound a bit tree huggerish, but it's quite important. When we talk about things that happened to us in the past, very often we beat ourselves up about that. And, you know, that causes anxiety there and then at that moment. So what I mean, if you're something that you did in the past, like we've all done stupid things or dumb things and things, you go, oh, Christ, I can't believe I did that. That can come back and you think about these things. So what I normally try to do is treat myself as if I'm someone else. So if you had done me wrong, Ash, and you said, listen, I'm really sorry I did that, I'd forgive you because you're my mate, but we don't forgive ourselves. So the point is, forgive yourself for doing dumb shit in the past. I think that's quite an important one. And then when we talk about things in the future, one of the things when you're really busy or stressed or got things to do is it runs around your brain. So last thing in the evening, write a to-do list.
Yeah, okay.
And that really will calm you down because it's something written in stone. You go, okay, you might not do the list, but it's written down there. So that calms you. That's the second point. And third, and probably the most important point, is one I learned from years ago from a guy called Charles Poliquin. It's called a grateful log or a gratitude log or journal. And apparently kind of drug addicts and alkies do it as well as personal trainers. But what I try to do there is most days or most evenings at the end of the day, I look back on the day and say, what was I grateful for that day? And it could be a really, really good day. You had a fantastic loads to be grateful for. It could be one of those crappy days. There's not a lot going on. But you think of something or a couple of things that you're grateful for. And that can be really minor or it can be quite major. But it makes your mind focus on a positive thing at the end of the day. And once again, that just calms your anxiety down. I also do other things like things I've learned that day and kind of be familiar with myself. So when I look back at the day, I think, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or I did that. You know, it makes you aware. So man, know thyself, as they say. Mm-hmm. So be aware of yourself. And that coupled with gratitude, writing down things you've learned, it creates a positive thing, along with the to-do list. Forgive yourself for your crap, things you've done. Mentally, I found that quite useful. I had a lot to do with it last year. And it certainly helped me last year, for sure.
And on that, mate, as well. So I think the to-do lists are massively important. You know, we both run our own businesses as well. I use a to-do list most days. It just gets it out of your head and it gets it down on paper, doesn't it? You know, and it does a couple of things. It gets it out, so you feel like there's a bit lifted off your shoulders a little bit, a burden.
Yeah, exactly.
But also it gives you a bit of accountability to make sure you focus on those specific elements as well. The grateful logs, you've definitely spoke to me about. It's the habit forming of a grateful log as well, isn't it? You know, I've tried to start grateful logs in the past and started and done well with them and then started and failed. And I think if you're going to do a grateful log, you've got to just try really stick with it and just form the habit. Don't just do it once or twice, but continue and continue day in, day out, right? Yeah. And as you say, it's just another way of getting it out of your head, because our head can drive us crazy, right?
Here's my one recently that I don't know if you can see it. Don't read it. But that's quite useful. What I do is things I'm grateful for, and then things I've learned, I did that day that I enjoyed, and things that I kind of cocked up with. And therefore, what that does is it makes you aware of yourself.
Yeah.
So I find mentally that really is quite useful. And what I found recently, if I don't do it for a couple of days or a week or two, I end up reverting down to be a bit of an asshole. So it gives me accountability to my personality. So it's quite
you
useful.
Down again, doesn't it? Brings you back down.
Exactly. Anyway, mate, that's the kind of what I like, the mental side of life. You know, psychiatrist, but it certainly helps me. And then Murphy, off. I got Murphy here beside me, and the kids in the back, so you might hear. Boys, be quiet, please, boys.
There you go. Two things to be grateful for there, though, mate. Your dog and your kids.
I'm grateful for kids at lockdown. So physically, one of the things, obviously we're designed to have a stressor occasionally, of course we are, you know.
Yeah.
But if we're constantly stressed, it's like low-grade adrenaline or adrenaline drip-feeding into our body all the time, and we're not designed for that. Yeah. We're designed to have something quite major happen, and we do a fight-or-flight scenario. Once we've fought or run away, then we relax and calm down. But if we're always stressed or always anxious, then this constant flood of the hormone cortisol, constant drip, that can have a real, real detrimental effect on your mental state, for sure, as we know. But things like your body composition, you'll end up storing quite a lot of fat, especially on the midriff. Your brain function will be much, much lower, because your brain function will be diminished quite heavily. You'll also lose muscle mass, because the body doesn't want to take nutrients from your muscles to give you energy, which you don't then use, of course. You don't fight off like you just sit in the traffic or you sit in lockdown not doing anything, stressed. And of course, then we comfort eat all the time with high carbohydrate, crappy processed food. And of course, well, we all know what that does. You know, your blood sugar goes up and down and up and down and up and down. And what goes up comes down, cortisol kicks in again. Am I talking too fast?
No, you're great.
But anyway, that's... and of course, then the other thing that chronic stress does, and we all know this, of course we do, is it creates, depletes our ability to digest food. So the ground zero for digesting food is chewing it a lot, and then it goes into your stomach, and stomach acid kicks in. And constant stress reduces our stomach acid's output, for want of a better word. And then, I don't want to go too scientific, but then our stomach, our small intestine, hang on, Ozzy. Mate, I'll come and see you in a minute. You've got to be quiet for me, okay? I'm just on the thing. Ozzy, go. Good boy. I'll sort you out in a minute, buddy.
Mate, it wouldn't be podcast track. Number one if we didn't have kids and dogs in it, would it?
Really? I know. He's bit his tongue, and I'm just ignoring him. Good dad. I'll go on my grateful log. So, you know, your digestive enzymes or hydrochloric acid is suboptimal. And then, of course, your food goes through digestive tract, for want of a better word, and doesn't kind of digest fully. And also the cell walls can, constant stress creates an inflammatory response.
Sure.
By food going in through digestive tract and therefore causing an inflammatory response, and white blood cells attack it and yada, yada. Anyway, big issue, all I'm saying is your ability to digest your food will be scuppered slightly. And of course, the other thing is sleep will be really badly, really badly diminished, of course. And there's a couple of things we can talk about regarding sleep.
So the whole stress thing and that little drip feed of what, low-grade adrenaline, right?
It's a cortisol. You might call it low grade adrenaline, but constant dripping cortisol. Yeah.
And you can. But the thing is, you can physically feel that, right? You know, we've all gone through moments of stress in our life, and we get that as soon as you have, whether that's an email that comes in, work related, something that you haven't done, should have done, or something like that, relationship or whatever. You get that knotty feeling in your stomach, and it doesn't just last for 5 or 10 minutes and goes. It's there, isn't it? And it's there, it's in your body, you can physically feel it, as you rightly said. I mean, I'm talking like layman's terms here now as well. So you don't feel like eating. If you do eat, you go for some fatty carbohydrate-based food, and you don't sleep. And it's those physical factors that we all feel if we go through times of stress, isn't it, you know? And not knowing how to get out of it. And I suppose one thing that you've already mentioned in this podcast already is you're grateful log. You know, at the end of the day, you know, don't focus on those negatives, focus on the good things that you, like if it's work related, focus on the good things you've achieved, not just thinking on things that you haven't done as well as you might want to do, right?
Yeah, mate, 100%. Funny enough, as you're talking there, something popped into my head, and it's something that is really quite important. What a lot of people do is try to be something they're not, and therefore you're living a lie internally, and you feel it internally. You're living, you're trying to be something. And there's that old thing, there's an old saying called, man, know thyself. And if you're trying to be something you're not, then it really is stressful. You're causing yourself stress by just bullshitting your way through life, you know? And that's a really stressful thing. If you look, let's talk about the physiological aspect of stress. And I've talked about, you know, your ability to digest your food because hydrochloric acid is reduced. And the very fact that it causes an inflammatory response by your gut lining can be kind of, the cells can be separated. Therefore, pathogens, food particles and like get into your bloodstream, which shouldn't. But physiologically, one of the real layman's way of looking at constant anxiety or constant stress, I mean constant, you know, over a long time, is a person will look like an apple, meaning they'll have quite a fat belly, and I'll explain why in a minute. They'll have stick thin limbs, very often quite a fat neck, fat face, and very often the breath is quite bad. I know that sounds a bit grim and funny, but actually it's the truth, because we end up when we're constantly stressed, the strip via cortisol is there for a reason, to give us energy, you know, to release blood sugar so we can fight or flight. That's what cortisol does, you know, as well as getting us up in the morning. So not a bad thing, it's just the constant amount of stress. And so let's say I'm constantly stressed, drip feeding cortisol all the time, that's releasing energy into my system, which I don't use. It doesn't just dissipate, then has to be stored somewhere, doesn't it? So the body goes, okay, it will store it in your but also you can have very dark eye rings under your eyes, and that can be a sleep or a digestion thing. And also you've got very bad breath. And when I'm giving consultations to people, and sometimes you can smell the breath, I'm not being horrible, but you know that there's a cortisol issue. And because the bad breath is because you're not actually digesting your food properly, therefore it's kind of fermenting or rotting, which is a bit kind of like grim, but you can understand what I mean. So that's one of the physiological things of chronic cortisol, the digestion thing. And if you're not digesting your food, it causes inflammation, which is a huge thing. I talked about, you know, your body attacking itself with white blood cells, and what it goes on to do causes joint pain and all sorts of shenanigans. And then one of the things about, you know, your anxiety is the fact that you don't sleep. And I can talk about some kind of sleep hacks if you want, mate.
We'll get it through again, I reckon, mate. So on that as well, cortisol gets a bad rep. Cortisol quite easily flung around, especially in the health and fitness industry, of being a bad hormone. We shouldn't have cortisol in our body, blah, blah, blah.
It's rubbish.
Cortisol is a fat storm hormone. Could you just very briefly, just describe a little bit, you have been doing it there. Like cortisol is not negative, is it?
Yeah, so, well, funny enough, actually, you just said it before. One of my little boys in there, he's got Addison's disease. And one of the things we have to do is give him kind of steroid cortisol type drugs three or four times a day. So without cortisol, you're going to die, basically. So cortisol, one of the things it does is from your circadian rhythm, however you want to call it, in the morning, your testosterone should be up and your cortisol should be up. And that's what gives you perky and gets you up in the morning because you're up and about. And that's absolutely fine. That's exactly how it should be. The cortisol curve should be up here. And then throughout the day, your cortisol should kind of lower until it's bedtime. Your cortisol's low. Yeah. And then you kind of melatonin kick in, you go to sleep.
Yeah.
However, so cortisol is a good thing. And also, once you're training, you want cortisol up because, you know, you get you rolling, you're metabolizing, or it releases nutrients into your system so you can utilize them to do your thing, fight or flight or train or do something. So once again, without cortisol, you have no get up. But the problem, people get confused, think cortisol is bad. Of course, it's not. It's just the constant cortisol. Remember, I spoke about just now the cortisol high in the morning, and then kind of it can fluctuate a little bit, of course. And then maybe a bit of a training pops up, and then you relax and kind of light time, melatonin, out you go. So, again, that
again, it's about managing your stress, isn't it? Managing your stress levels. Yeah. And again, this is what this is a bit about, isn't it? So that's great. So far, that's like the physiological elements that happens to our bodies due to stress. Yeah. Grateful logs, as you've already mentioned, a really, really good way to get some of this, you know, ease the mind a little bit, get it out on paper, get some of that stress out mentally. Breathing is another one that you're highly recommended in terms of combating these constant stresses in life and stuff, right?
Yeah. So thanks, Ash. It's the old simple stuff that we forget, you know, that your mum used to tell you. If we're stressed, what we do is we're in the hyper, you kind of, and you take short, shallow breaths. You know, when you want to oxygenate your system, you want to take long, deep breaths, of course, and that gets oxygen into your cells and does all that good stuff. And see, O2 in, carbon dioxide out, gaseous exchange, all that. And that will calm you down. We all know that. When you're angry, take 10 deep breaths before you kind of, you know.
Yeah.
So we forget, you know. Physically, okay, I'm a bit stressed, take a deep breath or take 10 of the bloody things and then make a decision or, you know, see how you feel. And funnily enough, when you breathe in deeply, your sensory perception is altered. You can see things better, you can hear things better. And of course, that's why, because it's oxygenation of your system. So deep breaths for sure, mate. That's a really good one. So the grateful log, breathing, and then I can talk about exercise, whatever, you know.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, carry on with that one. So, I mean, there's two actions there that hopefully anyone listening to this who may have anxiety levels up or may have that feeling of stress as a constant element as well. Two things straight away. Think about breathing. I mean, I got myself like an Apple Watch last year. And to be fair to Apple and stuff like that, I bought into it. This little thing here will randomly throughout the day, it will just ping. And I'll look at it and it'll say, remember to breathe. And you just have a minute, deep breath, deep breathing. And you can see why Apple have put this function on a watch. I'm sure other watches out there will have the same sort of function as well.
Other products available.
That one, exactly. But yeah, and it is important. And I, because of this watch, I have made myself bring in breathing a bit more into it. You know, if you do stuff like Pilates or yoga, they're very much into making you understand breathing, how to get oxygen into the body and stuff like that as well, and get it all the way into your lungs.
Simple.
So there's two things straight away. Grateful logs, think about breathing. You know, maybe I'm a big fan of writing things down. If I need to do something in a day, even if it is to focus on breathing, like once every hour, I set an alarm on my watch or something like that. Well, this watch tells me to, but maybe make a point of setting an alarm, say, well, I'm going to try this breathing thing. And it's just taking yourself out of the day, out of any projects you're looking at or working on, and just find a bit of time just to get perspective and breathe a little bit, right? Oxidize your body, as you say, and everything you're talking about, there's a reason for it in here, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So two things, great, breathing. Let's talk about exercise and train and
to-do list. So with the exercise thing, of course, especially at the moment, actually, don't worry about the moment, just from generally, a lot of people you'll be talking to, your audience, will probably into fitness. And what you can do from an anxiety point of view is train yourself to death. I've got to train. Funny, one thing that can make you anxious, the very fact that you haven't trained or you haven't trained optimally or whatever.
Yeah.
And secondly, if you're training outside your adaption, you know, you're training too much, you can become overtrained, and therefore that causes another cortisol response. So here's an example. Let's say you've had a terrible day at work. quite nice at the moment, wouldn't it, be able to go to work? But you've had a terrible day at work and you're stress, the boss is pissing you off, you've got to do deadlines, you've got meetings, you know, all that, yeah. You eat crappy food because you're stressed, because you're stressed. So you think, right, I know, I'll go to the gym and I'll run on the treadmill for an hour or whatever, and fine, no problem. But that also produces a stress cortisol thing, so you're constantly stressed, and then you train in a stressful way as well. Yeah. That feel-good thing you get after the training isn't, that's a different thing. I can't remember the name of it now, it'll come back to me, but it's still straining. The underlying, the feel-good things is I can't remember, Ash. I'll come back to it. But you see, what I'm saying is you feel good about it, but you're still stressing your body. Then you go home, you can't sleep. So sometimes less, if you're stressed, like let's say now, less training is probably more. I got a very good post the other day from one of the girls at the gym saying, you know, in this time, when there's illnesses going around, and obviously, if smashing yourself may in fact reduce your immune function. So what I'm trying to say is less is more. So training, allow good recovery, do some yoga. I don't really do yoga myself, but I like to stretch, and I find that really focuses my mind and relaxes me and stresses, put some tunes on and just, so you know what I'm trying to say. Yang and yin. Yeah, quite important, like from a training point of view.
It's like everything really does, like in terms of hormones working in synergy with each other, don't they? Your yin and your yang, effectively. One raises, one lowers, and stuff like that. Exercise should be seen as the same, isn't it? And we've probably, many people listening to this as well, watching this, have probably had moments where they just train too hard all the time, hard training. There's nothing wrong with having those low intense sessions, those sessions where you just, whether you're doing yoga or Pilates, or just following a little bit of a mobility routine, a stretch routine, and some foam rolling. That, and it's a really good way to combat stress. Again, it's something that needs to be tried and forced the habit of doing it. You know, it's very easy to do a little bit of a stretching session once. You don't get that same adrenaline rush that you get from hard training. So it's very easy, isn't it? Just to think, is it really doing me much good? But if you do it on a daily basis and you form the habit of doing it, you can feel the benefits, can't you? And it does
lower levels. Lowers you down. So and physiologically, I was going to say physiologically that, so when I'm training hard, you know, your sympathetic nervous system is always piped up. It's high, you know, output high. But you want your parasympathetic nervous system to relax. And one of the things you talked about there is stretching, relaxing, chilling out, go for a swim. Recovery training is fantastic. Yeah. And you want, a lot of us get our recovery training mixed up. We kind of, we do it half-assed where, it's kind of that intermediate zone, let's say a scale of 1 to 10 being 10 being hard, it should be really around about 3 to 4, but we do it about 6 to 7, so you're not actually recovering, you're still passing it. So recover properly, and I like the swimming pool for that, or going for a long walk or stretching. Anyway, there's a couple of things also that people would be useful from an action point of view, Ash, regarding calm yourself down from your circadian rhythm at night. People think I'm a bit crazy when I talk about this, but one of the things that wakes you up in the morning is blue light. You know, it stops melatonin production, gets you up. That's sunshine, that's blue light. So you get out and look at the sun, that wakes you up, and we know that. And similarly, when you're at home, your normal lights at home, that's blue light, and it wakes you up. So of course, when you're trying to calm down in the evening, you've got all the bloody normal lights on, and you know, your kids are going nuts because the blue lights are driving them, keeping them awake, you know? So really useful is I've changed all the lights into my house to yellow or orange lights. So at night time, it's actually quite calm. It's really quite nice. And it calms you down. So that's clearly what we're talking about. Trying to reduce anxiety. And also, let's say you sit watching TV or whatever you're doing. I haven't done it recently, but I'm doing it quite a lot last year when I had a lot of trouble. I was wearing those cycling glasses that are blue light blocking, that are kind of like yellow tinted, so I look a bit weird, like some guy off YouTube. But the point being, it stops the blue light, and you know, obviously not looking at your emails, and light being a thing, so you can get these on your phone, you can get these red light filter things, on your laptops as well, so really quite important. So the light thing is quite useful, mate, to be fair.
And the reason you're saying this as well is because you're trying to, again, allow the body at the end of the day to relax, to finish all the, you know, elevating throughout the day, stress. You need it to calm so you can sleep properly. Sleep is massively important, and it's something that a lot of people don't do enough of. But yeah, you're saying all these things, like, again, it's habits that we have in our culture nowadays, isn't it? To watch TV every single evening, which is stimulating the body. Look at your phones every single evening, up until just before bed as well, you know? Mm. And again, the email thing, the worst thing, because we're so contactable nowadays, the worst thing is look at your emails before you go to bed, because if you get one email that comes in with something you should have done, could you do, you go to bed, and that's playing on your mind. Even if you write that down, that's still playing on your mind. So, you know, give yourself that time to relax of an evening, isn't it? You know, try to eliminate the blue light as much as you can.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The whole thing about looking your emails and doing it work, just don't do it. And if you're, there's an anastatic load where, you know, you're constantly stressed, there's lots of stress. I won't go into it too much, but you can survive. But then the tiniest thing, because you've got so much stress in your system, let's say up to here, you're drowning in it nearly. And then the tiniest thing, like someone cuts you up with traffic, and you go bananas. That's because it pops up, and you kind of, whereas if your normal stress levels down here, for example, then these little things wouldn't bother you. So anyway.
Are we saying, if any of an evening, light some candles and put on some Kenny G? Something like that? Is that what you're talking about? Did I just
get
Kenny G? I don't know.
Very honestly, that is absolutely true. The other thing, of course, is stimulants. So of course, when we're stressed, a lot of things we do is drink lots of caffeine and coffee and stuff like that, which is, you know, if people are stressed, one of the things I'd recommend is, if they're caffeine fiends like I am, try not to have any coffee after maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But what you can do, if you want a stimulant that will not affect your sleep, is have green tea, because it's got theanine in it. And theanine keeps your mind sharp, but also calms you down. Hence the Chinese rumor has it that they have the green tea when they're having meetings, you know, because it's sharp mind, but not jittery and all over the place.
Yeah.
So
focus.
So that's quite a useful little thing, caffeine or stimulants. And we all know about that. Of course we do. So I won't bang on, but, you know, perhaps stop drinking coffee or something stimulating like that. Maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon, if you want a cup of tea, have maybe green tea or something like that, because useful. And then other things you can do is like, you know, magnesium and taurine. They're actually quite useful supplements. So, and glutamine, fish oil, all these things are really quite useful. So if you're taking, what I would do probably from a supplement point of view, can I talk about supplements, mate?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say, first of all, the ground zero, if you're stressed all the time, is try to keep your nutrient-dense food from good quality sources. So if you're eating sugary foods all the time, processed, you know, blah, 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 then it's up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Of course, that's going to cause more stress. Your blood sugar level's up, then it drops, and up, and so you're constantly chasing this kind of carbohydrate intake, first point. So eat animal protein, vegetables, all the what I would lecture, hopefully, talk about in another podcast, mate, to be fair. Then you could do basic things like 6 grams of fish oil a day. That's hugely anti-inflammatory, along with a million and one other things. It's very, very useful. I'd also take fairly decent doses of magnesium. And now magnesium, people think it's just magnesium, but it needs to be chelated to an amino acid. So I don't want to get too technical, but there's various types of magnesium. Magnesium glycinate, so therefore it's attached to glycine. Magnesium taurate, it's attached to taurate. Do you know what I mean? So it's attached. So one of the things I would recommend if you're stressed a lot is in the evening, have magnesium taurine. Or magnesium taurate, because the taurine is a precursor to GABA. And what does GABA do? Calms you down. You know, maybe 3 to 5 grams of magnesium. It could be glycinate, theanate, or taurate is what I'd probably go for.
Yeah.
And just, you know, 3 grams of that. And a good tip would be to put some glutamine in there as well. And also make it in one of these herbal sleepy tea things.
Yeah.
Allow it to cool slightly. Add that mix of maybe a teaspoonful of glutamine, a quarter teaspoonful of magnesium taurate, and then just drink it.
Yeah.
So that'd be good. And a really good tip that will calm me down a lot. A really good tip is don't have any carbohydrates throughout the day at all, apart from in the evening if you're stressed. And rice or banana is really, really good one, because high in tryptophan. And tryptophan crosses the blood-brain barrier and is a precursor to serotonin and therefore melatonin helps you sleep.
Yeah, so again,
that makes sense to me, or do you waffle on too much?
No, it's really good. And to be fair to what you just said there, again, you're it's going against the grain of where we're told, like, have your carbohydrates before 2 in the afternoon and then nothing after that. It's a myth that's in this industry a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, huge.
If you think about what the carbohydrates do to the body, your serotonin release and stuff like that, it makes sense to have it. I've done it. You know, you're a little bit jittery in the evening and you're a little bit hungry. Maybe you have a bowl of porridge. Don't know if porridge is the best, but like you have a bowl of porridge and it would just kind of calm you down. You know, it makes you that, it just kind of relaxes in a weird sort of way, right?
And well,
red meat in the morning, isn't it? Red meat in the morning, completely against the grain of what we're supposed to have for breakfast or sold to have for breakfast. Carbohydrates in the evening, you know, so.
In the evening. Because carbohydrates will, well, it's a massive topic. There's 2 hours. I wasn't the other day, but we'll put another one. But basically, if you're going to have carbs, don't have any during the day, really. There's some caveats to that, of course.
Yeah.
But if you're anxious, then you have them in the evening if you want. And it'd be things like you just said, maybe a banana with some, so this kind of tea mix that I just mentioned. Or indeed, oats are quite a good one. But I'm I think the go-to, if you wanted a thing to do that will help, is have a banana with some almond butter.
Yeah.
And that's high in tryptophan, and tryptophan we know calms you down from a serotonin, melatonin point of view, which is of course sleep. And therefore the light thing as well, have that with the dim lights, chill out. And then there's other hacks as well.
And I think it's important, again,
hopefully with someone.
Anyone listening to this or watching this, it is important, isn't it, to try these things. You know, if you are stressed, if you have anxiety, just try these things, not just once or twice. You know, I've worked with clients, and this is something that we teach in our courses a lot about how habit forming is key. You know, if you're asking someone to make a change in their exercise output or their nutritional intake, you can't just give them a plan and expect them to do it straight away and come back to you in 2 weeks' time and say, yep, done it every single day. It's a case of try these things, you know, do it from day one and make yourself do it for a couple of weeks at least. Okay, mate, so great. So in a summary then, if I was to come to you stressed out, as a client, stressed out, body composition not like it should be, what advice would you give to me today using these hacks that I could implement? Just a summary, really, of what we talked about.
Okay, mate, so I wrote a few things down during the break, but the first thing to replicate the circadian rhythm or circadian rhythm, however we're going to call it, is to have a meal at breakfast, first thing you do in the morning, if you're going to have breakfast, that replicates that. So something yang, i.e. perky, and that would be something like high protein, high fat from an animal source, probably. And why is that? Because it kicks in dopamine and acetylcholine, which is yang, perks you up, basically. So that's the first point. Therefore, your hormones are yang, and you're also, your neurotransmitters are up as well, so you're good to go first thing. You could actually then have a cold shower if you want to, which is a bit kind of like Catholic, but that's something I do, weirdly.
On the cold shower, is that another reason for, and like, because people jump in the sea in the morning, for example, right?
Yeah, exactly, mate, exactly. So if you're going to do that, maybe do it the first thing in the morning, you know, and actually I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's another way of kind of resetting your whole kind of clock, but and it's also a good thing to do any from a kind of stimulant point of view. Then throughout the day, every time you get stressed, take 10 deep breaths. I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's quite important. Also, the ground zero for all these things is what you eat. So if you're eating kind of high sugary, high processed food, kind of junk food, you're going to be given that roller coaster of carbs in, insulin dropping down, cortisol, insulin, and it's a roller coaster ride, and you're kind of chasing the error all the time and trying to eat more sugary snacks, going out for another fag break, drinking more coffee, you know what I'm trying to say. So if you stabilize that with good nutrition, that at least is somewhat taken care of. On that, then stimulants throughout the day, like for example coffee. You want to reduce that to, you know, maybe 3 cups a day tops, and try not to have anything after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, for obvious reasons, because it's a stimulant, and you know, you don't want to be, the half-life of coffee takes a long time, you'll still be wired at night perhaps, and also it's an adrenal thing, you're stimulating the adrenals, and of course cortisol is made of the adrenal gland, so it's pumping out more adrenaline, you understand what I mean? So you want to try to reduce that output. What else I've written, if you do want that habit of making a cup of tea or coffee or whatever it might be in the afternoon, to have green tea or one of the herbal teas, but green tea focuses the mind because of the theanine in it, and also gives you it gives you sharpness of the mind, but also relaxes you.
Sure.
And I spoke about the Chinese thing and why they have green tea and blah, blah, blah. Then let's say you finish work and you've survived another day at work, fantastic, and you want to go train. And remember I spoke earlier about the underlying thing that makes you feel good with training is endorphins. I forgot the word, but it's endorphins, but the cortisol is still rising. So, but if you train for strength with lots of rest in between, counterintuitively, you won't be putting excess pressure on the adrenal glands like you would if you did circuit training or long steady state fairly high end aerobic work.
Yeah, yeah.
So strength training with lots of rest will not test your adrenals as much, you understand what I mean? So training is quite an important thing. So then when you get home, then you then want to eat something that is fairly easy to digest, not once again not to put stress on you, and that'd be things like fish. You haven't had carbohydrates throughout the whole day, hopefully, but now if you've trained, then you might want to add them at night, mm-hmm. simply from a adrenal point of view, because it now relaxes you. So in the morning you perked up with perky neurotransmitters,
yep.
dopamine, acetylcholine, choline. Now in the evening you want something that relaxes you, and we know carbohydrates, good quality ones, kick mm-hmm. in serotonin, make you relaxed and drowsy. And of course that's when you want to be relaxed and drowsy, so you go to sleep. I'll talk about supplements in a minute. What else have I written down here? So also, when you get home, give yourself a cut-off time, like whatever, like 8 o'clock, right? I'm not gonna check any more emails, I'm not gonna even look at my computer for work point of view. And allied to that is dim all the lights in the house. Not so much dim them, but change the color of them from blue light, or your normal light, to red or orange or yellow, which will allow melatonin to start being produced. Yeah. Blue light stops melatonin. And of course, melatonin makes you relaxed and sleepy and all that business. And also, if you're watching TV, the hack about the yellow or orange tinted glasses, the blue light blocking glasses, that's a fantastic little tip. And get some of those blue light blocking filters on all your devices as well, you are on your phone, which we all do. So that's quite important, the light thing,
mm-hmm.
quite an important thing. What else have I written down here? And then what we spoke about at the beginning about the gratitude log, at the end of the day, when you've had your dinner and you're just trying to relax in, before you mong out and watch TV, just write down what you're grateful for that day. Try to find three things. It can be as minor or as major as you like. And also reflect on the day quickly, and that's it.
Yeah,
I like that. The old great the things to do list. Oh Christ, I've got to do that. Write that down, because then it's like compartmentalized. It's done. You don't have to shit. I'm gonna forget that in the middle of the night. And
definitely,
we definitely do that. I've got a few more, actually, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Let's say you've chilled out. An Epsom salt bath is quite useful, and just soak in the bath for about 20-30 minutes. A good cup of Epsom salts, magnesium salts, that's quite useful. I've spoken about the carbs last thing at night, you know, maybe half an hour before you go to bed. And a great one is banana with some almond butter. Eat that, and it's high in tryptophan, and tryptophan produces serotonin and therefore melatonin. You understand what I mean? So it's that cascade is really quite useful, tryptophan being the key. Little hacks about sleep, which we can talk about another time, is black out your room, so there's no light coming in at all, no devices in the room at all, not even an alarm clock light, none of that. The room should be pure. And if you're able to, sounds a bit geeky once again, but let's say you've had your nice dinner, try to go for a walk around the block or in nature, depends where you are, obviously, in this current climate, just for 10 minutes. It settles your digestion and kind of clears your mind, you're getting out in the air. And then probably the most powerful, a couple of the most powerful supplements is magnesium. And magnesium glycinate will help sleep. Magnesium taurate will help calm your mind. Don't worry too much about that, but magnesium glycinate or taurate are the ones I go to. What I would recommend you do is
Did you hear that?
Did you hear that? Make a cup of that herbal sleep tea, you know, that stuff you can get in any supermarket. Let it soak in with the tea bag in there till it cools a little bit. Add in heaped teaspoonful of glutamine, add in 3 to 5 grams of magnesium glycinate or taurate, and that's probably going to do the trick.
Yeah.
Swish that round, swig it down, and that will really have a powerful effect. Eat the banana at the same time,
yeah,
and then go to bed. I'm nearly done, but buddy, what a lot of people do is they have all these fabulous sleep hacks, but then they stay up. So you'll feel sleepy after about 20, 30 minutes, but and then you should go to bed.
Yeah, yeah.
What people do is they have it at 8 and then still up at 10:30, 11. And of course, it's gone.
That's right.
I'll just check if there's anything else, mate. I spoke about the endorphins, get out in nature. There's loads more we could talk about.
That's good. And again, I think for now, that's ample, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? And what it would be great for people watching or listening this to do would be to pick some of those suggestions that you just made. Try one, try two, try all of them, but at least try some. If you've got that stress and anxiety levels up, just try some. And then once you try it, commit to it and make sure that's a consistent habit every day, right? Because that's when you really see the effects. Just a couple of questions based on that, very quick fire ones. Strength training, circuit training, that's where you've got to be clever with your periodization, your programming, isn't it? You know, circuit training, you can hammer yourself with a circuit, sure, but just do it not at the end of a long, hard day. I'm thinking maybe a Saturday morning, something like that, if you're going to do it that way, right?
Yes, that's a really good point, Ash. So what we talk about someone who's stressed here, so you don't add to their stress. Of course, a normal human that's not a normal human, but someone's not stressed and perfect, well, everything's cool, you want to hammer yourself, that's absolutely fine. But the point is, this guy's got a sickness, as it were, you know, that is an illness, not an illness, but he's ailing with stress. So therefore, if you smash yourself with a kind of a wad or something, that just increased your cortisol output with the underlying feel good of endorphins, but the cortisol's still there. So training heavy, loads of rest doesn't. It helps, actually.
Yeah, cool. So just be clever with your training. Train smart, effectively, right? Just a very quick one, quick fire question. Carbohydrates in the evening, your top 2-3 recommendations for carbohydrates, meal choices of the evening.
Good. So that's a good question, mate. So from a stress point of view, bear in mind you want to kind of relax and sleep. I'm a big fan of banana and almond butter.
Yeah.
And it's because of the high in tryptophan, the amino acid tryptophan.
Yeah.
And probably have them on their own. Mm-hmm. Another great one would be rice. And another one would be good quality organic, you know, yogurt. But rice would be the main kind of carby, you know, the main starchy carb I would go with.
Easy to have for dinner as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's really easy to digest, and it'll relax you rather than yang you up, which the beef for breakfast would. Do you see what I mean?
100%.
And that's it.
The last thing, mate, bulbs. I know a lot of people listen to this, they're not going to go away and start putting all the different color bulbs in, for example. Hopefully some will, because if you have a factor of stress, anxiety, it will help, won't it? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of
100%, that's really important. It really does.
Yeah. What is your advice of saying, I'm not going to change my bulbs, but put a lamp on in the corner or something like that. Maybe just change a bulb in that one lamp, not all your ceiling bulbs and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, wherever you're going to hang out for the evening, front room, you know, dim the lights at the very least, or put candles on, which is a natural kind of light, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just try to dim the bloody lights, you know, and that's and the weird glasses I told you about, you look like a mental person, but they're actually quite useful.
Well, no one's looking in at your windows, you know, so they're not.
No.
Mate, I reckon that's great. And I think for today's podcast, we're going to have this on YouTube and Mahana on the podcast platforms as well. Hopefully, I'm sure people got something from that. You know, it was a wealth of knowledge to come across. A lot of those points, as you know, we'll debrief. I'm sure we're going to do other podcasts just on topics you spoke about today, supplements and so forth. But mate, I think for today, that was brilliant. You know, really good.
Thanks, buddy. I would just say, Ash, that on the supplement thing, I didn't touch on the fact that fish oil, vitamin D3, vitamin B5, vitamin B12, ashwagandha. There's so much, there's huge, and probiotics, bear in mind the guy's stress. And the other thing about stress is it reduces your digestive ability, so digestive enzymes will help. It's a whole world out there of information, but we can talk about another time.
Definitely, and we will do. And the good thing is, all of these podcasts together, they're going to combine and give that layer of information, you know? Watch this one. Watch our supplement platform. Do you know what I mean? Or supplement podcast. All is good. Mate,
right, mate.
Finish on?
That'll do.
That'll do. Well, Paddy, James, thanks for coming on. And we'll see you again very, very soon. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, Ash. Speak to you soon, buddy. Take it easy.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Performance Training Academy. My name is Ashley Hoff, and today's guest was James Buckingham. You can find out more information about the content that we deliver by going to our website, which is www.performancetrainingacademy.com. You can also visit James Buckingham's website at www.precisionperformance.co.uk. We hope you got some benefit from today's podcast, and please feel free to share around so others can hear about the content we deliver. We'll have some more podcasts coming for you very, very soon, so please stay tuned. Thanks for now.